Where's the music?
We don't need music. We switched studios, so I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing it, Jasmine, but it's not working on the control board.
So. Well, I'm looking forward to the rest of the program.
Hey, we're 3 for 3 with technical difficulties the last 3 days.
Right. To save our heads, look who's here. It's our friend Thomasy and Nicholas, accomplished filmmaker, singer, musician, producer, director, writer, pastry chef.
Are you an engineer by any chance?
No, but I could be your third co-host. It's my fifth time on the show.
He does kind of work here, doesn't he?
Yes.
I do.
You didn't know.
I just don't show up that often. I'm actually not here as much as I'm contracted to be here. I apologize.
Your fifth visit, Tom.
My fifth
number
one.
Number five.
You know, I was thinking about this, too. I was walking over here, and I saw you guys followed me on Twitter finally. So is that sort of the
well, that
prerequisite?
Would be Jasmine.
Jasmine, our
you
got to
be on the show 5 times to get
yes.
followed back.
Yes.
I think I followed you individually.
Oh, individually, okay.
But am our show finally okay. followed
well, hopefully
you.
Hopefully, since I'm giving you crap for it, hopefully
I unfollow you.
Oh, I was going to make sure I was following you. Because if I give you a lip about it, I better make sure.
I'm so glad you're here today. This is where I brag about you.
Well, thank you.
Because if you do it yourself...
It makes me look bad.
It does a little bit.
All right.
Bill is not going to be here tomorrow because he is a national tennis champion. Did
well,
I say it right?
No, Illinois right. State tennis champion, right. But I'm going to the regionals and if we win that, then to the nationals. But we wanted to schedule this to make sure that I'm here when you're here.
Right.
You know, in case the music doesn't play or something weird at the beginning of the show, to make sure that a professional is in the room. But we know you're in town for the Wizard World Comic Fest in Rosemont, and you're going to be there starting today, right?
Starting today. It starts at 4 p.m. today, and I'll be there all 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
What is the number one thing people ask you when they see you at these fan conventions?
I do the Wizard Worlds all across the country, mm-hmm. and obviously in different parts of the country, it's more American Pie, but, you know.
Is it?
We're in, you know, my Henry Rowengartner homeland,
yeah.
So it's more about Henry Rowengartner when I'm here in Chicago.
How does the map break it down to where the American Pie Zone is? I'm curious as to
state
where.
State line.
Is it by state?
Yeah, state line,
yeah.
For sure. I gotta pull out my congrats on your your tennis.
It's just
tennising.
State championship. It's no big deal.
It is a big deal, and it happened, was it 3 years ago?
Yes.
And his big decision then was one of my daughters is going away to college and it's parents weekend. Do we take her there or do I play tennis?
Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll end up with one of these bad boys.
God. Look at Mr. Bling.
Thomas is wearing the Chicago Cubs World Series championship ring of a few short years ago.
And it's a replica.
Of course it's a replica. You didn't
Tom Ricketts didn't actually give me one. I keep wearing it everywhere, hoping that I can talk about it, the fact that it's a replica. Maybe Ricketts will hear me.
I read that Chris Bryant's ring has been missing or stolen. That couldn't possibly be his ring. It says Bryant on it. Nah, it's probably just a coincidence.
Can I tell you it's as big as like a World Wrestling Federation belt?
Yes.
That thing is humongous.
It doubles as my belt buckle, actually.
It's stunning.
Big. Is that the size of the one?
That's the size of it. Here, you want it? Here.
Oh, in some cultures, you just got engaged to Wendy.
Just gave her
the World Series ring.
This is even too big on my thumb.
Yeah,
it's too big for my fingers also.
You're a Cubs fan?
How could I not
you
be a Cubs
excellent.
Fan?
You are excellent. I love hearing
How
that.
How could I not be a Cubs
fan? Good for you. We just became the hometown station for the Chicago White Sox, so this is a very exciting time to be us here. At the Cubs playing really well, the White Sox on the up and coming route, they're both looking good.
Yeah, no. Sometimes I get asked to throw the first pitch for the White Sox, and I always politely decline.
Do you really?
That's the better team. I'm a Sox fan. So.
Unless they would let me wear my Rowengartner jersey, and then I don't think I'd walk out of there alive.
Really?
You know, that the new Comiskey Park back in the day doubled as Dodger Stadium for us because it had blue.
That's where we
shot all the Dodger
totally
scenes.
Forgot
the
about
the
this.
Pitcher's got a big butt moment.
You mean the seats and everything?
Yeah, the seats and the wall, like the padding.
It was terrible because I'm a Sox fan, so you'd go there and you'd feel like, what's Cubby Blue doing in... Seriously, it was a bother. Everybody complained about it, and now it's green.
Right.
It sucked.
That was for the first several years, right?
Yeah.
They didn't change that until not too long ago.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I don't know. We obviously shot back there in 92. So.
Explain for people who don't know what we're referring to. The movie, of course, is
Rookie of the Year, where I played Henry Rowan Gardner. It's the 25th anniversary this year.
Does it seem like anywhere near 25 years?
No, God, no.
It doesn't, does it?
No, it does not feel like 25 years at all.
Wow. How weird is it, though, that almost every baseball movie, whatever park it's supposed to be, they shoot it at a different Major League Baseball stadium?
Well, we shot at Wrigley, so we didn't play Wrigley for anything else other than Wrigley.
Yeah.
We just, you know, didn't travel to Los Angeles for the Dodger scenes. We just went to New Comiskey
Park. I'll bring it up. What about your baseball movie?
Wendy, I was only in two baseball movies. It's no big deal.
Major League and Major League 2?
Yeah. The first one, is, again, it's supposed to be the Cleveland Indians, was shot in Milwaukee. The second one, supposed to be the Cleveland Indians, shot in Baltimore. Crazy.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Help me toot my own horn, or do I have nothing to toot it about?
There's some tooting. Did that sound bad?
That sounded like something else.
I don't know what that meant. So here in Chicago, when people see you at Comic-Con, they're going to ask you questions about Rookie of the Year. It's just
for
natural.
Sure. They're going to ask, you know, if I met any real Cubs players, which I didn't at the time.
Because you guys would shoot when the Cubs were
if
out
Gary
of town.
Busey's crazy, which he is.
That's an easy one.
How much time did you physically spend with Gary Busey? Did you spend a goodly amount of time with him?
Too much.
Did you?
Do you keep in touch? Does he follow you on Twitter?
No, I don't keep in touch. I actually reconnect with Daniel Stern recently.
Love him.
We'd shared some emails recently. I ran into Brent Spiner, who was in Star Trek New Generation.
Data, right?
We did a Wizard World in Boise, Idaho. And he reminded me, which I didn't remember, he was at the premiere of Rookie of the Year 25 years ago, and he's Danny Stern's neighbor. So I was like, oh, do you have Danny's number? Like, will you text him my info? And then and then Danny reached out. So Data got me in touch with Danny Stern. With Brickma. Data got me in touch with Brickma.
That's how it happens. That's how it happens. I thought that Daniel Stern, the first time I ever saw him was in the movie Breaking Away. He played a character named Cyril, who was kind of separate from everybody.
That's where he first met John Hurt, I think. Was John Hurt?
Yes. Well, wait. I don't think he was in Breaking Away.
John was in a lot of things, I guess. Maybe he wasn't in Breaking Away.
I don't think he was in that.
Fair enough.
Maybe he just stormed the set at some point.
Yeah, maybe he did.
It's a possibility. But from the first time, did you ever see this with an actor? You'll see an actor or an actress in a movie or something, and you just go, if this guy or this girl doesn't make it, what chance do any of us have? They're fantastic. I thought that about Daniel Stern right out of the box.
Yeah.
He just had such a great presence to him. Wizard World Comic Con going on today through Sunday.
Yeah.
In Rosemont. Always a lot of fun. We'll continue this conversation with Thomas Ian Nicholas next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thomas Ian Nicholas is our guest. He is making his fifth appearance on the show. He's a five-time club. You get the robe now. We'll give you the robe with our insignia on it. He's appearing at the Wizard World Comic Con.
And the slippers?
Just the robe.
Do you wear slippers?
Your seventh appearance.
Do you wear slippers?
You know, I did. I was just looking, and I wasn't following you back, Wendy, on Twitter, so I did. I followed you back.
I just followed you now. So sorry.
The truth comes out.
I thought I did.
It all worked out.
I know.
So I'm just following you, not on Twitter, but wherever you go, I'm about 20 paces behind you.
Well, you were. You were at the showing of The Lost Tree at the Music Box Theater last October.
Yeah, talk about that.
It's very exciting. You're now cranking out these horror films at a pace of about once a year. I don't know how you're doing that.
Well, did two horror films, The Lost Tree and Living Among Us. That got released by Sony, and now I'm producing a drama. So we're getting away from the horror genre. And then, you know, you were asking what people ask me about at Wizard World Comic Con.
Yeah.
And of course, people often ask me what I'm working on next.
Yeah.
So obviously, I'm, you know,
what
doing
are you
the drama,
on next?
The drama adverse. And then, you know, we've talked about it many times on the show. Handbook for Mortals, the best selling book that we sell at all the Comic Cons. And I travel around with Lanny Sarum, who's sitting to my left.
Author,
and we sell the signed copies of the book. I'm producing this into a film next.
Congratulations, and to you as well, Lanny. That's great.
Now, what about the challenge of you're working on your own work? You've co-authored these books. You know,
I didn't co-author the book. I'm only producing the film.
Okay,
I signed the books too, but even though I didn't write it, I helped develop the story because it started as a script first.
Oh, okay.
So I helped, you know, kind of guide and develop some of the arcs of the characters.
Ah.
So I'm a part of it, but I didn't write it.
You did not write it. Lanny, you're okay with this? Because it seems like he's trying to steal your book from you.
No, I'm okay. Like, okay, all right. He did help develop it. When he read the script originally, and I was like, hey, tell me what you think. And he's like, hey, I really loved it. I have a few notes. And I liked all but one of his notes.
Oh, what was the note you didn't like?
The pop culture references.
Yeah, he didn't like my pop culture references. But
I don't like movies that reference other movies.
But you know what? Did you see Ready Player One?
Yeah,
because that Ready Player One is that throughout from start to finish, and I liked that element
I thought that
it was makes good. It relatable, which is why I fought to keep that in. So yeah. I kept it in.
I started watching Ready Player One, unfortunately, on the plane because I have two children and I don't get to go to the movies that often.
Yeah,
and I found it distracting.
Oh.
Oh, I liked it.
This is like a Springer episode.
All right, so you're writing.
I need the truth.
You're writing, you're acting, and your band is going to be playing at House of Blues.
Yeah, I'm headlining at the House of Blues on Saturday night. I'm also playing some shows at Wizard World on the entertainment stage.
Oh, nice.
But at House of Blues, it's the IM Fest, the 10-year anniversary of the IM Fest hosted by the Elbow Room, which is where I played last time I was in town.
Pretty good venue.
That. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm checking off the House of Blues off my my bucket list of Chicago venues because I've played the late, great Double Door a bunch of times.
Yeah.
The Cubby Bear. I've opened up for some bands for Secondhand Serenade at the Metro back in the day. And
all
now,
the cool clubs.
All the cool clubs. Played the Elbow Room and now the House of Blues. Nice. Finally.
Ask him what he does in his spare time because he has tons of it.
You have no spare time. No, you said you have two kids. How do you even see them?
I see my kids. I was just at home. We just had a family day at the beach yesterday.
And then you hopped on a plane?
And then I hopped on a plane. And then, you know, as far as spare time, when I'm on the road, on our nights off, we do escape rooms. Have you ever done an escape room?
I haven't, but we have heard about them. You haven't either.
So we're doing Escape Artistry on Friday night. You're welcome to come with us.
I'm scared.
We're obsessed with
them.
We don't do the scary rooms. We do like the fun rooms
that
have. No, you come with us, you'll get out. We've done 50 rooms in the last year.
Have you done 50?
Yeah, around the country. Wow. So Escape Artistry in Wicker Park on Friday night. You should come and get locked
in
our room.
You have an hour to get out of the room. And if you don't get out, then you're just a loser, but they let you out. Then you just have to live with being a loser.
And if you do need to go to the bathroom, it's in most states, it's illegal to actually lock the doors.
Oh, it is?
So you can essentially exit the game and be like a double loser, but you can go to the bathroom.
They
recommend you go to the bathroom first.
There are a few where they actually lock you in, and I kind of like that better, but...
That doesn't seem fun to me.
It doesn't.
No.
It's really fun. I know in theory,
talking to an addict, so
I am. I'm an
addict.
But
she's of course gonna be like, it's really fun. It's really
you gotta do it.
It's really good.
So they give you clues and stuff on what to find
and
how
you liked Ready Player One. It's like being in a video game.
Yeah.
It's just how they're in the reality. So you get to be a spy.
So you know how they got the keys in Ready Player One?
Yes.
It's very similar to that. So you would get a clue
and
then try to figure something out, and then you would get open a box, and then you get like the next clue that helps you unlock the code to open the next box, and then there's usually like a big clue at the end that solves the master puzzle.
And then do you get a prize, or you just get to leave?
You get to leave.
You get the proud feeling of solving the problem. Yeah, that you got out of the room, and you get to take a victory picture.
Oh, you do?
With your friends,
or you take
have
a loser
any.
Picture.
Oh,
if you don't get out.
Fights happen if you're in there with like your significant other or a friend, and you're saying, let's do this. They do that.
We were in one, and this was last year, and it was me. There was actually 15 of us. It was.
So we take all like the Wizard World guests and stuff.
Oh,
so like the
nice.
Other actors,
like
things
one of the actresses from Rain who played like Queen Elizabeth, Rachel, and it was John Heater, and I don't remember who all was in this one, but it was several.
Holly Marie Combs was there. Oh wow!
And
John Heater's really good at that.
He may act dumb
in movies, but he's real smart in real life.
Yeah, I love when he goes because I know if we can't figure it out,
John and I actually, on a side note, we're in Walt Before Mickey together. And so we do a Disney trivia panel. When are we doing it? This one?
We're doing it Friday.
It's usually on Saturday, but this time it's Friday because it's a 4-day convention.
I host it, and they'll do it. And you can win prizes. We actually give away prizes. And
so instead of just like a... Not to say that the other panels, but instead of just like a standard Q&A panel... The audience participates and wins prizes. And
I would love, we don't have time, but I would love a sample question or two. Can we break? Are you okay on time? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll do some news. Can you throw us a sample question or two? Is that
we can think about it during the news.
I'll give my sample question.
All right. All right. We'll do the news and then more shows. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we're chatting with Thomas Ian Nicholas. I just want to say, I don't know if this counts as his sixth appearance.
No, Wendy, this it does not. Still... We talked to the judges, and this still is considered his fifth appearance
all
on
right.
the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was just a fifth extension.
You're in
time
overtime.
Extension.
You'll get paid overtime. Don't worry about that.
Oh, perfect.
But it
yeah.
still counts as only your fifth visit. So you just shared with us the information before the news that you played young Walt Disney in a movie about Walt Disney, and it's now on Netflix,
yes.
right? Yeah.
And John Heder is, it's called Walt Before Mickey. It's all about Walt Disney's life and career before he
Much
created
of it
Mickey
here,
Mouse.
Right? A lot of it in Chicago?
No. His parents, he lived in Chicago for a time. He was born in Chicago.
Yeah.
And while his parents were like building homes, and then they moved to Marcellin, Missouri, and then to Kansas City.
Oh.
So it takes place mainly in Kansas City, and then he goes to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But it's all before he created Mickey Mouse, which was initially Mortimer the Mouse.
Right. So you ask trivia questions, Disney trivia questions, and I'm just curious if you can throw one my way.
We got it. So it's
you're gonna get everyone.
Right.
That's why you're
so,
doing
so
this.
So it's hosted by Lanny Sarum, like I said, author of Handbook for Mortals.
Which, so I usually ask the questions.
Oh, you do.
So P.S. We did a book signing at the Barnes and Noble at Old Orchard in Skokie last night, and we left some signed copies there. So if you can't make it to Wizard World to get a signed copy of Handbook for Mortals, you can always go to the Barnes & Noble in Skokie and get them there.
Yes, Tom and I both left some signed.
Like I said, I didn't write the book, but I graffiti it too.
Oh, okay.
And they're really awesome over there. Go say hi. So, the staff is awesome.
What if you don't live near Skokie? Is there some other way to get an autographed copy?
Volumes Bookstore in Chicago. I think it's in
Wicker Park.
I just like that you sign any book. I've got a Bible that was signed by Tom, and the price just skyrocketed as soon as you signed it. So thank you for doing that for me.
No worries. You should get a Book of Mormon signed by John Heder.
All right.
Are you comparing my book to the Bible?
No, it's different.
Called Handbook for
it's
Mortals?
Similar, but different.
Yeah.
It's different enough.
Different pop culture references.
Yes, way different.
So I don't want Lanny to give away any questions because we do a lot Wizard Worlds in a lot of city, and I know you got listeners all over. So
but if you come to the panel, you can win prizes.
I will ask a question that I had said, hey, this will be a good question. And Lanny goes, you can't ask that question because you know the answer.
He tried to cheat.
I'm supposed to answer.
Right.
We split the audience in two. So it's Team John and Team, Tom or uh-huh. Team Walt and Team Roy.
Uh-huh.
And so my question that I had come up with was, because my kids were just watching Finding Nemo, what did it say on the diver's mask that they found when they were trying to find Nemo? When Marlin was trying to find Nemo, Marlin and Dory.
I thought it was going to be Walt Disney.
I thought it was
going to
be, yeah.
Oh, you want?
I saw Finding Nemo when it first came out.
All right, so you're going to the Walt Disney question?
No.
I could do an old school Walt Disney
question.
What's
one of
the
those?
Answer
what
to
is
this?
The answer? What was on the.
P. Sherman 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney.
So if we were.
What does that mean?
It's the address for the dentist.
Yeah.
Oh.
That stole Nemo.
Oh.
If we were doing this at the panel, I would get Tom and John to have some audience members, and they would talk about it, and then they would give answers, and whoever wins gets the point, and then we give away prizes. And if you come,
okay,
you,
here's the okay, sorry, wait. Here's the question for you. I'm interrupting.
I was going to talk
You're
about
totally
the photo op.
The photo op. Yes, that's
good. Yeah. But if you have a good time
now
at the panel, or you love the movie, we're also doing, for the first time, we've never done it before, but we're doing a photo op. You can get a picture with Walt Disney, played by Tom, and Roy Disney, played by John Heder, from the movie.
That's excellent.
And may or may not, if it arrives on time, have a big Mickey Mouse to take a photo with too.
Oh,
so
that's so
can,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the question.
All right.
What was the name of Walt Disney's animation studio that went bankrupt in Kansas City? You wanted a Walt Disney question.
That's a tough one. I don't know the answer to
that.
I
hope you're happy.
I am not happy. I'm just the opposite of happy.
It's okay. Tom always loses in these anyway.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, no. Do you?
I do. He thinks I, make it so he loses.
She
but
does.
John,
she rigs the whole game so that I lose
John
every time.
Peter.
So even if we're tied at the end, she's like, hey, you guys could, have a sing-off. And then John always sings and dances and wins.
Oh, you must hate him for that.
I
He's a good dancer, if you've ever seen Napoleon Dynamite.
I have seen. He's an amazing dancer.
I think I gave you a way to maybe redeem yourself this weekend.
Maybe. But wait, not without like lots of help. I got to call in for backup.
But yeah. Tell us the name of the studio because I don't know.
Laugh-O-Gram.
Laugh-O-Gram. Oh, that's great. Wow.
I have no idea.
I thought it would have. I thought it would have been a lot.
Were you googling it?
Yeah, no. I was trying to come up with a question for you. The original name for Mickey Mouse.
We already said Mortimer. Oh. Yeah.
See, I should listen while I'm googling.
But that wasn't his first. Like his first, what he thought was his breakout character
was Oswald the Lucky Rabbit that got stolen from him by Charlie Mintz. I mean, you're not going to fade me on early Walt.
Very nice.
I played Walt.
If you watch the movie, you'll actually learn a lot about this. And the movie is really great because the story, the ups and downs that Walt had before he became successful. Like if you are having a bad day and you're like, life is never going to work out for me, just watch the movie and you'd be like, oh my god, if you can go from being like bankrupt, have no money,
living on the street for 2 weeks in Kansas City before he went out to LA with $40 to his name,
to creating the big, like literally the biggest thing in our lifetime. Like,
isn't it sad though that his dream was Disney World and he never saw it? That always made me so sad.
Well,
that
he saw Disneyland.
He saw Disneyland, but he was in on
and
the planning. Disneyland
is so much better than Disney World.
Is it? Yeah?
I don't know about. I just recently went to Land for the first time in July. It was great. Some rides were better, but
it's smaller.
The intricate details of it, though, are it's all in the details.
Wendy, like, I've had this argument with Tom.
He would do stuff when like Roy would go out of town because he would want to like have gold inlays on the turrets of the magic castle, and Roy would say no, it's too far away, people will never see it and appreciate it, like it's an expense we can't afford. And he would go out of town and Walt would order it and
really
get it done.
Wow.
So the intricate details, like
that's
you're
amazing.
More enveloped into when you're in. Now they're changing it now, some of the new lands obviously, but when he was there, his idea was that when you were in it, you wouldn't see anything outside of Disneyland. And you can see lots of stuff at Disney World. You're not enveloped in it. You're just at an amusement park. You can see the highway. You go up here. You can see this. But originally, until they started adding new lands, that's how Disneyland was. Obviously, now there are certain rides where you can start to see over the tops of the facades.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his original intention, and Disneyland has more of that.
I like Land better because it's smaller. I have two kids that are big Disney fans, so they love being immersed in everything Disney at Disney World. I like that, it's a 10-minute walk from your hotel, and it's easy to navigate. World is just... takes you an hour and a half to get to the park from where you're staying. It's just more of a hassle.
Got to take a car, a ferry, and a train just to get there.
Yep. Tom, Lanny, thank you guys for being here. Wizard World Comic Con takes place today through Sunday at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Head on out or visit them online at wizardworld.com. Appreciate you guys being here.
And if you use my discount code TINWW, like Thomas Ian Nicholas, TINWW, you get 20% off your tickets. So.
Oh,
how about that?
That's a bargain. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks for
it.
Having us.
A little break, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We don't get to talk to Dean today.
Wendy, we don't. White Sox baseball is coming up in a little while. You and I will not just do a bonus hour, but a bonus 90 minutes on the bonus hour. So that's a bonus. Yeah, on the stream. So, Dean's contract is very intricate, and it says that he must be on terrestrial radio, never on the stream. So we must honor that.
I believe his contract says stream free.
Stream free, he says. Yes, he's very. He is not a fan of the stream. I don't understand it. He's afraid of it.
Oh my god! I have the best idea. I hope Promotions is listening. You know those Jetstream trailers?
Yeah,
isn't that what they're called?
I think they are called
those
that, yeah.
aluminum tubes that look like a giant bank tube.
Yeah, huh?
We get a Jetstream trailer.
Yeah,
we take it on the road and we do our stream live in various locations.
I'm up for that. Don't
wow,
expect
that is a great idea.
Isn't that a great idea?
Why
Steve?
Do you make fun of me?
What? I just said
he's
it was
being supportive.
I said it was a great
Steve
idea.
Steve is very supportive, but I know that because of Dean's strange contract, he will not participate. So it'll just be us. So be ready for that.
I mean, like, forever. Like, we could do it every day.
Oh, not every day?
Yeah. You like a change of scenery, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun. A quick sports question. I know you're not a golfer. I'm not a golfer. I don't even watch it on TV, I'll be honest with you.
I love watching golf on TV.
Are you a fan of it on TV? It's a little...
to take a nap?
It's a little tranquil, isn't it?
You know, it's some of the stories and when they're... No, it's It's more emotional than a Christmas special sometimes.
Is it really?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Well, they've made this announcement that two of the biggest names in golf, that would be your Tiger Woods and your Phil Mickelson. Even if you're not a golf fan, I think you know those names. Those are two of the giants in the world of golf. They will be squaring off one-on-one on Friday, November the 23rd. It's a winner-take-all match. The winner gets $9 million for this, for 18 holes of golf. The loser gets nothing. Thank
well,
you for playing our game.
How it works?
No. They still. You could finish like 14th. You still get some prize money.
What, a dollar?
No, it trickles down. I mean, the better you do, of course, the more money you make.
Okay. Do we know? Do they get no participation fee? Nothing? Or
they're being weird about it.
Goodie bags, snacks, anything?
They get yes, Mayor. They will be given a box lunch. Don't worry.
That's good.
Neither of the gentlemen is going to starve.
Free beverage cart on the course.
You get that. Yeah, there's perks. You're not walking away totally empty, you know. But the guy you're playing can beat you by a stroke, by one stroke, and he walks away with $9 million, and you get bub kisses, the kids like to say, Wendy.
Yeah, the kids today
are always saying
like
bub
to
kiss.
Say it.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll give you $1 million.
Really? Well, you could make a deal with the guy. You could say, hey, look, I know they're doing this thing that the winner gets $9 million and the loser gets zero, but just between you and me, why don't I throw whoever loses, the winner throws him $1 million just for showing up. You could do that.
I know you so well, there is no way you would ever do that.
Well, friends of mine, remember when Star Search was a big deal?
Yes.
The early days of Star Search with Ed McMahon. All right, so that's when I was coming up doing stand-up, and several guys that made it to the finals would make that deal. Because the first place winner, I don't remember what you got for winning Star Search, but it was a pretty good chunk of money. So they would say, hey, let's you and I, we'll do a thing where whoever doesn't win, we'll throw the guy $100,000.
The person who brought that up was not as confident.
Oh, without a doubt. There's no question.
I guess I screwed up, as usual. Hi, Bart. What's going on?
Hey, Wendy. Hey, those campers you're talking about, they look like a big silver Twinkie.
Yes.
Those are called Airstream, not a Jetstream.
Airstream? Airstream.
Why would it be a hairstream?
I don't know. I thought maybe they cut hair in the back.
No, Airstream.
Airstream. All right.
We always thought they were Twinkie campers.
They do look like a giant silver Twinkie, which kind of is appealing to me.
Yep.
I still think it's a great idea, Wendy.
It is a great idea.
Thank you, Bart. Have a good one. Airstream. I thought you were close. One of you would correct me.
You were very
me.
Close. No, we've been told. Management has asked Steve and I to not correct you.
No, I think 4 or 5 times a week, and then we have to stop.
Yeah.
There's a limit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super funny.
Yeah.
All right. So you are going to be playing tennis tomorrow.
Yeah, at about this time, right around this time.
Will there be, maybe we should take the Jetstream there.
All right, you know what?
The name of our team, by the way, is the Silver Twinkies. Isn't that weird?
No.
You make fun of me every day. Tomorrow, my husband will be filling in for you, because I couldn't find a guy who also liked toys and annoys me.
Oh,
so Jimmy Mack will be sitting in your chair tomorrow.
Oh, good luck.
I'm
going to
get enough of that now. I mean, come on, you guys. Bertrand, you better be nice to me tomorrow.
I don't think I'm not being nice to you right now. I think it was going to be perfect remote. Well, you could do the show while he's playing tennis.
Yeah.
You can't talk during tennis.
We could whisper, do a play-by-play.
No, tennis isn't as quiet. Golf is really quiet. Everyone's whispering around a golf course. Tennis, people talk at regular volumes.
We talked about Jasmine cheering.
Yeah. Jasmine's cheerleading team is coming out to cheer me on.
Well, you know,
she could be the ball girl.
Who? Jasmine? No,
anybody.
She'll be cheering.
She wants to be on the
part
pyramid.
Of the Spirit Brigade.
Correct.
Chicago Spirit Brigade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brigade's a really hard word to say for me, I've just realized.
Brigade.
Brigade.
You can do it.
Do you get ball girls for that tournament?
No.
No?
No.
Nobody's picking up the balls for you, huh?
Mary, you volunteering?
It's kind of funny. He made it this far. He should have one.
Right. I think we've earned a ball person.
Yes, ball person.
Yeah, ball person.
How come they don't have like a little Roomba that comes out to get the ball? At this point in time, you'd think a robot would handle it.
Well, it's funny you say that, Wendy, because I volunteered. I have to Swiffer the courts in between matches.
Is it too late for a contest for a ball boy or ball girl?
It's tomorrow morning, Steve. Yeah. I don't know we could pull that off now.
That's too bad.
I know.
So you have to hold all the balls.
Listen,
hate to get involved in this.
Have fun, Nick DiGilio. That's Mary Vandeveld.
Right.
We need to. You need to do this again next year because.
Oh,
we,
I hope.
But this is so stupid of us.
Why?
We should have planned something where we brought listeners to watch you.
I think it would have intimidated whoever I'm playing tomorrow. We're playing the state of the entire state of Michigan. There's no room for that.
Wait, where? How far are you going?
We're going to Indianapolis, but we play four
it.
Other.
It's too far of a drive.
Is that
drive.
Too far for you?
It's
How long
a camper.
Of a drive is it?
You got a camper.
3.5 hours, 4 hours away.
All right, that's true. You would, I got a silver Twinkie.
Is that too
Twinkie.
Far for you?
No, if we, I just, yeah, that's kind of far.
It's important. Wendy, this is an important day.
We would make you nervous if there was a whole cheering
Nothing makes
section.
Me nervous.
Famous last words,
Nothing
each and every one
nervous.
Of you. See, this is the difference between our confidence levels. If I was participating in something like this, I wouldn't say it till after the fact, till I knew the results.
I'm not saying I'm going to win. I'm just saying I don't get nervous. I mean, I'm excited, but, you know. And that's my advantage over my opponent, because I can sit next to my opponent before we go on, and I can go, are you nervous? Because you look nervous. Is everything okay? Because you look very nervous.
You're going to get into his head?
Yes. Yes.
I'm proud of you, Bill.
isn't that a good move?
Yeah,
you got to get into the other guy's head.
Got to wear a wacky outfit.
Oh, that's a given.
Yeah.
Dress as John McEnroe.
Really?
Yeah. With tube socks.
All right. All right. Let's do that. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. And then our friend Tony Fulmer stops by. We'll talk about planting. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
One of my favorite guests is back in action.
Tony Fulmer. One of the best. Tony, you're one of the best. One
Thank
of
you.
Our favorite guests.
Thank you. You can say that. I can't.
You can say it. Go
no,
ahead.
No, I shouldn't.
Say it. Just see how it feels to say that you're one of our favorite guests. Just say it. You can say it.
I'm one of Bill and Wendy's favorite guests.
How stuck up is Tony Fulmer? Comes in here saying
I
stuff
knew.
Like that. Wendy.
I don't know. Go, I to, get it. Go to the Chalet Walked Nursery right and it. Tell him that. Tell him how stuck up he is. That's 3132 Lake Avenue, Wilmette, Illinois. Tony is the Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm having a tough time even looking at you.
Oh, gosh.
I
bathed in everything this morning. Got a haircut?
I am about to disappoint you. I
Uh-oh.
Love to garden. Gardening is one of my favorite things in the world. I only get to do it in the warm months. And I did not plant a tomato garden this year.
So you've been horticulturally naughty again.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And
Uh-oh.
I haven't done anything in the yard. Nothing. And here's why. New puppy eats everything. Every time I go out there, I went out there to weed, and he follows me around, and he'll grab a weed out of my hand and traipse around, galloping,
Parade,
looking at
proudly.
Me like, come get me. He will not allow me to garden. So I've taken this summer off, and next year I'm going to come back with a vengeance.
What?
I don't know what else to do.
Well, the biggest thing then, if that's what you have to do this year, just make sure that you keep ahead of the weeds and don't let the weeds flower and don't let the weeds get ahead of you. If nothing else,
do the weeding.
Do the weeding. Don't let the weeds seed. There's an old expression that I always get backwards, and I can't remember if it's 1 year of weeds and 7 years of seeds or 1 year of seeds and 7 years of weeds. I think it's the last one.
Tony.
1 year of seeds and 7 years of weeds. So keep, if nothing else, Wendy, I would say keep after that. That's the most crucial thing. Once they get ahead of you, that's when life is rough in the garden.
It becomes overwhelming when you have too many weeds, and that's when I think you hire someone.
Oh, yeah? Is it time to hire somebody? If you're Wendy, what do you do with this, Tony?
I've pretty caught up right now, but
well,
thankfully it's been dry for the month of July, and now we're getting the rain.
Well, I was just on a garden tour, my first ever garden tour, and so I feel like I've been living in the garden. And so
you're like
I, believe
a garden
me,
gnome.
Yes, exactly. I feel your pain because I feel like I've been out there with tweezers all summer, even when it's 95 degrees out, and it's just that's not fun.
Mm-mm. No, it sure isn't.
And dragging hoses, and I've been doing a lot of that to make sure everything gets water, so everything was perfect.
Yeah,
I didn't even water all summer,
Tony.
Ooh.
You know, this is like witnessing a confession. I feel like I'm in plant confession.
Bill, I feel really guilty.
You should feel. This is
he's been so proud of me.
Until now.
I have been. Well, I still am.
All right.
Intentions are always good. Your intentions were good. You have a puppy. That's a great excuse. I don't know of a better excuse than that.
Tony, I'm sure you saw this in the news.
About Wendy?
The people. No, not about Wendy, which also made the news, but it was further back in the paper.
Slow news day.
Yeah. All right, so Monsanto was making these products for lawn care that were a little bit dangerous, right?
Yes.
And a big lawsuit came down the pike because of them. How does this affect the average grower? How does that affect what people are putting on their plants for the most part? Does it have a longing effect on us or not?
Are you talking about the removal of the product or the product itself?
Both.
Okay. The removal of the product, the thing about it is you're talking about Roundup.
Yeah.
And there is nothing like it.
Yeah.
And that was the beauty of that product, you know, beauty in quotes now that we know more about it. The beauty of that product was that it was only absorbed through green foliage.
Yeah.
And it was inactivated in the soil. Mm-hmm. So you could go in and do lawn renovations, or you could go into gardens that were overgrown like Wendy's.
Yeah.
Before she caught up, and you could really get back to ground zero.
Sure.
And start all over again. And so there's really, really nothing like it. So people that say, well, the organic ways like vinegar, well, vinegar just burns the top off of something. I mean, you use vinegar and 20 minutes later you go out and that weed is already starting to turn yellow or brown.
Yeah.
But all it does is burn the top off and doesn't get the root.
Right.
So it's going to be, it'll be an interesting, thing going forward to see how we approach this.
But for people who had been using it, what do they do now? What's their next move?
Personally, well, that, you know, I think that gets to be an ethical thing as a gardener.
Yeah.
Are you going to stop using it? Are you, you know, how do you dispose of it?
They're still
going to
sell it despite what?
Well, so far, right now, yeah. I have not heard of any. It hasn't been removed from the, you know, from our arsenal yet.
Right.
And we have, of course, have to make a decision about that, and I think we'll probably take it off the shelves.
Potential danger there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I only used it in between bricks, you know, where weeds grow up in between bricks.
Right.
I didn't really use it anywhere else.
Well, the hope is that, you know, everybody uses all of these things responsibly and is making sure that they are covered and so that you don't have dermal absorption of that for sure or breathing it.
Didn't you have dermal absorption
one
time?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see a doctor about that?
Had to see a dog specialist. They flew a specialist in from Zurich. what about, though, I'm sure you saw the follow-up, is that now breakfast cereal companies say, uh-oh, we may have some in our breakfast cereal.
Yes.
That's bad.
Yes. Well, I guess what I would say is there anything, if we knew all of the different things, whether it was solvents or paint or all the things, you know, that's one of the big things about keeping houseplants, for example, is... We buy houseplants because they are pretty and they make us feel better, but they also do such an amazing job of taking out all kinds of VOCs, volatile organic compounds, from the rooms where we're sleeping and the rooms where we're living. And plants make our, you know, our environment, our indoor environment, much, much, much safer. And we tend to overlook that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
312-981-7200 is the number to call. Tony Fulmer is here. If you have any questions, which usually we do, you can line them up now. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about it's lawn time, basically.
It is lawn time.
All right. We'll continue next. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Tony Fulmer's with us, Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery. You can go to chaletnursery.com or stop in 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. Tony, I noticed, I think this was the driest July we've had in many, many years.
Yep.
It seems like we've been kind of making up for it. It's been raining. My grass does not look that bad. How come?
Because you're a good gardener?
No, I haven't done anything. I have done nothing all summer.
Well, what I'm seeing is that as a gardener, I have my own rain gauge because it's really important. It's been, especially lately, it has been so sporadic. And some place
dumps,
I get an inch and a half, or they say, oh, here it gets 2 inches, and I go to my rain gauge, and I have a tenth of an inch of rain in there. So you may have been the beneficiary of some of that rain that some of us haven't gotten. How many times have you fertilized?
Fertilized.
So,
I've not done it ever.
Wendy. Really? Embarrassed
never.
For her.
And what's the quality of your lawn?
Pretty good.
Well, great. Good.
Hmm.
I guess if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's a miracle. Right. How can it be that good if she's not fertilizing? Tony, what's up there?
Well, I don't want to be a bad guess, but I guess one thing we have to look at is, you know, where's the bar?
Well, Wendy knows the answer to that question. give her half a
cent. I was going to dispute that.
I was talking about the lawn standards bar.
That's different.
I noticed that the backyard is in pretty rough shape, I'll tell you this.
Well, the puppy isn't helping.
The puppy finds one little hole and
it becomes
digs
a crater.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have slugs. I hate slugs. He eats slugs. I don't like slugs. Slugs are just snails without
shells.
Yeah, they're gross. Now, is that a problem for the lawn?
Well, no, not really. It's really more of a problem for perennials and annuals. So you have a lot of shade, because typically you're not going to have slug problems unless you have a good bit of shade, a lot of soil moisture, a lot of soil surface moisture. If you mulch a lot, if you have things that they really, really like most hostas, for example. Any combination of those things, but maybe you have more moisture or it's shadier than you think and your lawn isn't, your area isn't, your garden isn't drying out as much as you think.
It is wet every morning.
Okay.
And so is the lawn. Gus has a lawn question for you. Gus, this is Tony Fulmer.
Hi, Gus.
Hi. Hi. I have quite a few bare spots in the lawn, and yes. I'm trying to bring them all back.
Okay.
And it just seems like the seed won't germinate very quickly. Is there something that you can do to the seed, like soak it in water or something before you put it in the ground or lay it on the ground, that would make it germinate faster?
No, I think the two things that you need to be looking at is make sure that you have assessed before you buy the seed, make sure that you have assessed what the light situation is. You know, do I have 5 or more hours of direct sun? If I have that, then I should get a mix that is high in Kentucky blue. If I have less than 3 or 4 hours of sun, then I should be getting something that has fescue. So make sure that you're getting the right seed mix for your situation. The other thing is we have a tendency to not do, and I know it's hard work and it's grueling and it's boring, but it's like all things in the garden, it's about soil prep. So if you have hard, compacted soil and you just throw the seed down on top of that, you're probably not going to be very successful. So you need to do the work and you need to make a bit of a soil bed.
So it penetrates down into the soil?
Well, in a perfect world, you would have it loosened to a depth of at least 3 to 5 inches.
Wow.
And so and then when you finish, you have little cracks and crevices that the seed can catch in. And the other thing that we tend to overlook is you definitely want to use a starter fertilizer, which is high in phosphorus, and that promotes a heavy root system. And then it's all about even moisture, even moisture, even moisture until you've mowed it 3 times.
Good luck to you,
okay,
Gus. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Did you have another one?
I was just going to say, I generally put black dirt down first and then put the seed on top of the black dirt. Do I need to put more black dirt on top of the seed?
No. That's the biggest mistake people make is they bury it, usually with peat moss. So, no, you want that right on the surface. But, see, again, that's problematic,
okay,
Gus, if you are putting topsoil down on top of compacted soil. Loosen it up, baby. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Will do.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you, Gus. And one more question. A lot of people are texting this in. John, you have a problem with your lawn. What is it?
It's the chick leader, this Creeping Charlie. It's
yes.
going everywhere. I don't know what to do about it.
Well, Creeping Charlie is going to tend to start, if it has enough moisture, it'll go out in the sunny areas, but very often it comes in from the neighbors in the areas where it's damp and shady, and if it has enough moisture, it'll go into the sunny areas. But what you want to do is wait until we've had the first frost, and after the first frost, that changes the whole physiology of the plant, and then it will take up a weed killer very, very, very well. And so wait until October, we've had a first frost, and then apply a good broadleaf weed killer, and that'll really knock it back a lot, and then maybe you can finish it off next spring. But it will tend to come back in those same areas, because those are the areas where the desirable turf grasses do not do as well.
Can you just dig it up?
You can pull, but the thing is, it roots along every stem, every joint, so it really, really, really gets a foothold, so you can break a lot and leave a lot of little pieces behind. So, yes, you can, especially if you catch it early. So the thing is, catch it early and don't let it get ahead of you. Don't let it get away from you.
Okay, appreciate that.
Good luck, John. Do we have time for one more?
Do one more, Wendy.
All right, Mary has called us at 312-981-7200. Hey, Mary.
Hi, I have a question. Is this the time of year to power rake? And if I do that, what will it do for my lawn?
Okay, now if you're talking about power raking or dethatching, the machine that has the little blades that go through like combs and rip things out of the ground, is that what you're talking about as opposed to core aeration?
Yes.
Okay, we do not believe in dethatching. It's a little, I think the best analogy, Mary, is would you take a steel curry comb that's used for an animal and use that to brush your hair and pull it through as hard as you can? That's exactly what dethatching does. It really doesn't do anything. If you are in need of, quote, dethatching, you would be better to either have someone core aerate for you, which is the machine that goes through and puts the plugs down and pulls up plugs of soil and throws those on the top, and that breaks through the thatch layer, and that allows water and seed and fertilizer to get down in there, and that will really, really make a big difference in your lawn come next spring. But never, ever dethatch.
Great.
Thank you so much. Now, that would just thin out your lawn, wouldn't it?
It does nothing, yes. And it kind of beats up the soil surface, and the lawn is really, really stressed after that. So if you have a situation where you think you need to dethatch, then you probably should be investigating core aeration instead.
Told you, Wendy. Wendy and I have had this discussion every day for the last 6 months.
I'll bet.
We have the Chicago White Sox coming up. Their lawn looks really good. I will say that.
Yes, it does.
I'm sure they fertilize and do everything.
Yeah,
correctly.
If you have any questions, Tony, the best way to reach you at the Chalet Nursery is to either stop by 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. There's a phone number as well.
Right. 847-256-0561.
And is there a website people can check out?
There is, www.chaletnursery.com.
Your thoughts on nematodes, for them or against them?
There are beneficial, like all things in life, yeah. There are good ones and bad ones.
Yep. Would you dethatch your nematodes or not dethatch the nematodes?
They could be applied after.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
You're tough this morning.
Yeah. Thanks.
You've done your homework.
Got it well.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Tony Fulmer, it's a pleasure to have you. Next time I see you, I want to have done a better job with my yard and garden.
It's all right.
All right.
Oh, you've been absolved.
Thank you, Tony.
Absolved your sins.
Bless me, Tony, for I have sinned. All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy, Tony Fulmer, thank you so much. Go to chaletnursery.com. White Sox baseball coming your way soon.